Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. On the internet around the world, I'm your host, Lauren Cartagena. It's good to be back in the nation's capital. Want to also say thank you again to all of our new listenership around the world, the new listenership in the southeastern African nations of Zambia, also Zimbabwe. Thank you very much for listening to Radio Pangea. In the United States, Texas, if you're listening in Maryland, North Carolina, Florida, thank you very much for making Radio Pangea your choice of news. We hope to continue to bring you real news throughout the year and as it unfolds. Our saying here is real news for real people, because fake news is not what real people want to hear. That's what differentiates us between everybody else. We report real news. And as a follow-up story to our last edition, more than four decades after the ex-wife of Righteous Brothers singer Bill Medley was raped and killed, officials announced that they used DNA to identify the suspects in the slaying. However, the man has been already killed by police in 1982. Los Angeles County Sheriff Jim McDonald said investigators believe Kenneth Eugene Troyer was responsible for the January 1976 slaying of Karen Klass. Investigators use a controversial DNA testing technique known as familial DNA to compare samples of DNA that was collected at the crime scene and were able to identify the first-degree relative of Troyer, Sheriff Captain Steve Kotz said. Officials would not identify the relative and would not say the sample they used was in a state database of convicted felons. The technique, which has raised ethical issues in the forensic community, allows investigators to search law enforcement databases to identify likely relatives of the person whom they may have committed the crime. Law enforcement have argued the technique can provide investigators with valuable leads. Because of familial DNA, detectives were able to link Troyer's DNA and positively confirm his identity as a killer, McDonald said, as he stood alongside Medley and more than a dozen other law enforcement officials. Familial DNA search is the only reason Troyer was identified in the horrific crime. Troyer, who had been suspected of committing several other sexual assaults in California, was shot and killed by police after escaping from a California prison in 1982. As investigators began to hone in on him as a possible suspect last year, they were able to obtain a sample of his DNA that was held in the Orange County Coroner's Office and exclusively link him to Klass's slaying. The arrest brought closure to a family that had struggled with questions for decades. In other news, President Donald Trump is expected to sign an executive order on cybersecurity. The order is expected to commission several different reviews of the government's offensive and defensive cyber capabilities. Presidential campaign that was dominated by running storylines related to cybersecurity, including the hacking and subsequent leaking of Democratic emails as part of what U.S. intelligence agencies determined was a wide-range influence operation intended to help Trump win the White House and denigrate his challenger, Democrat candidate Hillary Clinton. For months, Trump refused to accept the conclusions of the agencies that Russia was responsible before stating in a press conference on January 11th that, as far as hacking, I think it could have been Russia. In his answer, Trump, then the president-elect, pivoted to say that we also get hacked by other countries and other people, while vowing to launch a government-wide review of vulnerable cyber attack. The order is expected to also initiate an audit of several federal agencies' cyber capabilities and to seek input on how to improve protections for critical infrastructure and review government efforts to attract and train a technically sophisticated workforce. According to other sources, President Donald Trump and then Sally Yates, then acting Attorney General Sally Yates, whom Donald Trump has fired, has just said that she publicly questions the constitution of his controversial refugee and immigration ban and refused to defend it in courts. The dramatic public clash between the new president and the nation's top law enforcement officer laid bare the growing discord and discontent surrounding Trump's executive order, which has temporarily halted a U.S. refugee program and has banned all entries from 7 Muslim-majority nations for the next 90 days. So the Cybersecurity Act and also the U.S. refugee program and banning of all entries from 7 Muslim-majority nations Act are one and the same in the sense that they piggyback on one another. And this is something that people in the United States may or may not know, but our listeners in the Netherlands and Norway and other European Union nations may not necessarily know this. So I'll say again, the Cybersecurity Act and a new Immigration Act have been piggybacked on one another so that they can get traction and push through as one legislative agenda and also piece of legislation that's going to be coming down. There's going to be new legislation coming down, and these two topics are going to be hand in glove. They're going to be hand in hand because they're going to claim that cybersecurity equals domestic security, and domestic security means having to screen everybody and also having to track better the people that are in this country, and also before they get into this country, fully vetting them so that the Department of Justice knows who they are. And for standing up to saying that perhaps such a program or such authority could be far overreaching, considering Congress has not been allowed to vote on such things, Andrea Yates was fired as the Department of Justice attorney. Okay, U.S. Attorney General. He immediately named longtime federal prosecutor Dana Buente, the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, as Lace's replacement. Buente was sworn in a private ceremony and also promptly ordered department lawyers to do our sworn duty and to defend the lawful orders of the president. Batanti said Trump's executive order was both lawful on its face and properly drafted. Trump's order pauses America's entire refugee program for 4 months and definitely bans all those from war-ravaged Syria and temporarily freezes immigration from Iraq, Syria, Iran, Sudan, Libya, Somalia, and Yemen. Federal judges in New York and several other states issued orders to temporarily block the government from deporting people with valid visas who arrived after Trump's travel ban took effect and found themselves in legal limbo. After a chaotic weekend during which some U.S. legal permanent residents were detained at airports, some agencies were moving swiftly to try to clean up after the White House. Homeland Security, the agency tasked with implementing much of the refugee ban, has also sought clarification that customs and border agents should allow legal residents to enter the country. The Pentagon was trying to exempt Iraqis who work alongside U.S. and coalition forces from the 90-day ban on entries from the predominantly Muslim countries. But we will stay on top of that and follow that. In other news, an airline maintenance worker in Oklahoma found 31 pounds or 14 kilograms of cocaine in the nose cone of an American Airlines jet after it arrived from Colombia. 7 bricks of the drug with a street value of at least $200,000 were discovered at the carrier's maintenance base in Tulsa. According to the Tulsa County Sheriff, a technician went to check the electronics bay and some of the insulation looked new. He moved it and saw one of the bricks. The flight, a Boeing 757, originated in Bogota and landed in Miami. It was sent on to Tulsa for maintenance checks because the base in Miami was too busy. The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration and investigation is currently investigating the incident. Well, in science news, and moving on to a new era in transportation, perhaps. Engineering students from around the world are keen to get involved in the Hyperloop project, which appears to be moving steadily towards becoming a reality. Now, what is that? SpaceX has run several competitions aimed at pushing forward the ambitious Hyperloop project. Although a couple of companies are working on developing a track technology for the ultra-fast transportation system, it's engineering students from around the world who've been busy designing the pods that passengers could one day ride in. SpaceX CEO Elon Musk, who is also the founder of Tesla Motors, the man who dreamed up the Hyperloop concept back in 2013, has been using the contest to encourage students to develop the capsules, which, if our system ever goes into operation, will carry people inside a near vacuum speed of speeds at least 760 miles per hour, he said. At that rate, a journey between Los Angeles and San Francisco could take a mere half hour. In other news, getting to our kingdom news in the UK, thank you to our new listenership. This is an interesting story. Agile scientists equipped with 3D laser scanners have revealed the secrets of a hidden room known as the Priest Hole in the tower of an English Tudor mansion linked to the failed gunpowder plot to assassinate King James I in 1605. A new study reveals how the secret double room was constructed in the tower of a gatehouse at Coughton Court in Warwickshire as a hiding place for priests during the anti-Catholic persecution of the 16th and 17th centuries. Catholic priests faced execution as traitors under the English law at the time, and they were often tortured to reveal their accomplices, according to a professor in the Department of Archaeology at the University of Nottingham in the United Kingdom and one of the lead researchers of this new study. Despite being outlawed, many priests chose to travel around England in disguise and perform the banned Catholic ceremonies in secret, often at country homes of the wealthy Catholic families such as Coughton Court. The secret priest holes were ingeniously constructed inside walls and between floors as places where a priest could hide from search parties while the family of the house pretended to go about their normal lives. The priest holes at Coughton Court was rediscovered by later owners in the 1850s. In 1605, Catholic resentment over England's anti-Catholic laws inspired the gunpowder plot, a conspiracy to assassinate King James I by blowing up the House of Lords at Westminster while the king and his government ministers were inside. Coughton Court played a role in the plot when it was rented as by Sir Everard Digby, who was one of the Catholic conspirators, along with Robert Catesby, the leader of the Guy Fawkes, who became the most famous of all the plotters. On the date agreed by the plotters for the assassination, November 5th, 1605, now commemorated as Guy Fawkes Night in the UK, complete with bonfires and fireworks, a group of Catholic conspirators met at Coughton Court to wait for the news to attempt to kill the king. But when the messenger reported that the plot had been discovered and many of the plotters had been captured, the conspirators who had gathered at Coughton Court fled into the night. Most were captured and executed in the years that followed. And with that, thank you for listening to Radio Pangea. We appreciate your listenership. Please follow us, youtube.com/Pangea Foundation, or like us at facebook.com/Radio Pangea. I'm Lauren Cartagena. As always, please think for yourself.